The song Floating on the Bay was composed by William Carey Wright when Grover Cleveland was president. Now, 125 years later, his music has been recorded for the first time.
I grew up around this music. My mother played it. I played Floating on the Bay. That's probably the last one that I recall.
Mary Rogers is the composer's great-great-granddaughter and has taken on the role of family historian, just as the William Wright dossier is being updated. It was several decades ago when the family donated a treasure trove of artifacts to the State Historical Society, including 39 of William's compositions. Mary Bennett is in charge of special collections.
I knew they were stored in a box here, but they really were brought to life today. A lot of meaning was added to them, and they're actually very beautiful to listen to. So again, we're gaining a new appreciation today for something that's been here for 30, 35 years right underneath our nose.
The music of William Wright was rediscovered by David Patterson, an Illinois historical musicologist who was a disciple of Frank Lloyd Wright, the architect. Knowing how important music was to Frank, including his fascination with grand pianos, Patterson's research led him to Frank's dad.
I don't know if they were grand pianos when he was a child, but his father played the piano, and some of Frank's happiest memories are of the musical times that the whole family spent together.
Like father, like son, Frank also played the piano, and Patterson has taken his research to the next stanza, theorizing that music was a crucial pillar underscoring Frank's success in designing buildings.
He said that Beethoven and Bach were the two greatest architects he knew anything about. And in his own architecture, when he talked about organicism, for example, in architecture, that was about taking a seed of an idea and growing it throughout the space. And the metaphor he often used was that it was akin to Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, and taking those four short, simple notes that open it, and then building an entire symphony out of it.
Patterson's first presentation to the public was before an audience at the State Historical Society in Iowa City, where he rolled out the life story of William Wright, who moved his family to Northeast Iowa in 1869 when Frank was a young boy. In 19th century America, composing music was an avocation more than a career, so William earned a living as a Baptist minister in McGregor. But his passion was music, and Patterson's lecture premiered the first ever performance of William's musical scores recorded in studio earlier this year.
This piece, Hemlock Ridge Quick Step, from 1850, represents a young man's most earnest efforts in realizing a career in music.
The most challenging thing for William Wright, I think, has been the length of time that he's had to wait and his descendants have had to wait for a story other than Frank Lloyd Wright's to be told.
Fans and family members gave the music enthusiastic reviews. Until now, Richard Heller from Marengo didn't even know his great-great-grandfather wrote music.
I have never heard the music, and I think it's very interesting. It sounds a lot like Beethoven.
Mary Rogers is another fourth-generation descendant from Vinton.
A lot of this is new for everybody. I think people might take a little more interest in the fact that William definitely had a major role in shaping Frank.
Bob Engel is a retired historian and amateur musician.
Brought out certain visual kinds of things. For example, the Robin Waltz. You can imagine Robins in the Tree.
Robin Waltz is a short piano piece written for children. Nature is a recurring theme in the compositions, and like music, was another imprint passed on from father to son. Frank Lloyd Wright talked about it in this old interview.
A genius is a man who has an eye to see nature. A genius is a man who has a heart to feel nature. And a genius is a man who has the courage to follow nature.
Well, I don't think the style of the music is particularly special, and it's not going to see a great revival.
Marion Wilson Kimber, a professor of musicology at the University of Iowa, says William Wright's compositions are typical of 19th century parlor music.
it's in some sense a more accurate picture of what American musical life was like in the 19th century. We think of the Beethovens and the big symphonies, but little American towns at this stage didn't have big symphonies, so composers wrote for people to play in their parlors. And composers who wrote symphonies and operas often struggled because there was no one to play them.
The tune Hour of Melancholy came towards the end of William's writing career and embodies his complex life, constantly on the move with multiple careers and a failed marriage. But his hunger for music survived. After leaving the state, he wrote Pictured Rocks about a favorite Iowa picnic spot dedicated to the young ladies of McGregor. Later, he lived in Des Moines and Perry, where he taught music and published essays. Music historian David Patterson says that for son Frank Lloyd Wright, there was no single figure more important than his father.
We wouldn't study William at all, I think, if it weren't for Frank's fame. But that said, now that we know something about his music, it's tuneful, it's attractive, it's charming. He's someone who wants to be a freelancer and make a career in music, difficult today, next to impossible in the 1900s. So as a musician, I appreciate his love for the craft and his refusal to abandon it for his entire life.
As the public learns more about the connection between father and son, composer and architect, it may help interpret some of Frank Lloyd Wright's architectural masterpieces, like his elegant Park Inn Hotel in Mason City, where guests can enjoy the music room and be entertained by a grand piano. I'm Rick Fredrickson, Iowa Public Radio News.